Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and Dad and Luann, before we start the program today, I want to start by remembering all the lives lost in the attack on the World Trade Center. Today is September 11th, and it happened 11 years ago today.
You know, it seems like just yesterday. It really does. And yet I fear that many Americans are not even mindful of what happened on that day. Mm-hmm. We're just so busy and we're thinking about other things. But that gives added significance to what we're going to talk about today.
It absolutely does, Doctor. Just to be clear, I'm Luann Crane, and you've been listening to our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
Luann and Ryan, we are hurtling now toward the U.S. elections on November the 7th, and I believe this is going to be the most important election in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. There is so much at stake. And we can only go so far in talking about what's at stake because we're a nonprofit organization. We can't get political, but people can figure out for themselves where things are going. But to help us talk about that subject, we've invited Penny Nance to be with us. She's the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. She has served as special advisor for the Federal Communications Commission. By the way, I was asked by President Herbert Walker Bush to serve on that commission, but I didn't have the time to do it. I'm glad you're there. Penny, you actually advised the chairman and the commissioners on media and social issues, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. I was the mom in the room. I was the one that talked about how their policies affected American families. And, it, you know, it was something that I did for 3 years, and I felt like it was just an important opportunity to serve my country and to actually, you know, again, kind of be there as a mother's voice in how media affects our kids.
Well, you do a great job. Many of our listeners will know you because of your appearances on Fox News and MSNBC and CNN, and you've been quoted in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. So you're out there doing a job on behalf of all of us. And I welcome you to Family Talk.
Oh, thank you. It's such an honor to be here with you representing Concerned Women for America. And it's just an honor to be in this position and to be a voice for conservative women. Thank you for having me today.
Well, tell us more about the mission of CWA. What is its mission statement? And anything you want to tell us about your founder, Beverly LaHaye?
Well, thank you so much. You know, Concerned Women for America has been around about 34 years. We were founded by Dr. Beverly LaHaye, who's your friend and colleague, in the late 70s, in the wake of the feminist movement, in the wake of the ERA. And Mrs. LaHaye came into the public square on behalf of conservative women. And so in the late 70s, I know Shirley Dobson was a part of this, and Beverly LaHaye and Phyllis Schlafly, women that I so admire, stood up for us, stood up for conservative women, and were an impassioned voice on behalf of Christian women, and stood in the gap, really.
Yeah, well, I've already said that this may be the most important election in my lifetime. Penny, do you think it's that important also?
You know, Dr. Dobson, I strongly believe that this is the most important election of my lifetime, and I was confronted recently with a statistic that I think you will find equally troubling. You know, there's about 16 million evangelical and Catholic sincere women of faith in this country. That, you know, Barna judges that based on regular church attendance, people who are really involved in their churches and would consider themselves Christian women. But about half of them, only about half of them, are even registered to vote. So that means when you go to church on Sunday, look to your right and to your left, and know that one or the other or maybe both of those people will not be registered to vote. And then of the ones, of the half that are registered to vote, only about half of them will actually show up on Election Day. Now, perhaps in some other year that wouldn't matter, but let me tell you, there is so much at stake in this election. We felt like that was tragic. We felt like that we really had to stand up and call our Christian sisters to task and say, it's not enough just to be a good Christian, a good churchgoer. You've got to be a good citizen. You need to make sure this year that your voice is heard. Because if it's not, if Christian women do not speak up, someone else will speak for you. And trust me, you won't like what they have to say.
You know, Penny, I'm telling you, if we don't do it this time around, especially if those who hold to Christian values won't take just half a morning or just a few minutes, really, to go vote, then, like you said, somebody else is going to do it for them. Tell us if you believe that women may hold the key to the outcome on November the 7th.
Well, we know that women have carried every presidential election since 1964 with the nation's largest single voting bloc. And that's why you're hearing all this back and forth about it, what American women think from both parties. That's why you heard the lie that I believe it was completely a political, cynical attempt to sway women called the War on Women. It's not a war on women. It's a war for women. And it is crucial that conservative women vote. Otherwise, the liberal women will carry the day. It is really important. I cannot overstate this, that conservative women, that Christian women vote this year. We are an essential demographic for any candidate. And if we don't support our own candidates, then they won't win. I mean, it's very simple. The person that wins is the one that actually turns out the most votes on election day at the poll. It's not rocket science.
Well, you do a lot of traveling. What are women saying to you when you meet them on the street or in a conference?
You know, you're right. I just got back from a four-state She Votes 2012 bus tour where we were going out across the country in some battleground states and some other states just to meet with women of faith in church parking lots and Christian school parking lots at Chick-fil-A's, you know, really all over the country. And I heard a common theme from these women, and that is deep concern for the future of their families and concern for their nation. And we know that that's not just for, you know, the CWA members that I'm meeting with. We know that statistically, for the first time in U.S. history, parents are less optimistic about the future of their children, that's never happened before. Every set of parents since they've started polling have always said that they thought their kids were going to have a better future, a brighter future than themselves. But now as parents, we're not so sure because we've gone so far and we're so close to the edge, the tipping point on our national debt and all these other moral issues that we just aren't sure about our future. There's a lot of uncertainty there. The other thing is, women, about 30% of small businesses are run by women, are owned by women. So that means we're business owners. We are seeing what's going on with the economy, and there's a lot of concern there. So, you know, what our message has been to them, like, you're right. You have every reason to be worried, but there's something you can do about it. Our founding fathers were so wise. They set up a system of government, and would you get a do-over? If you don't like the way the country's being run, you get to fire the guys that are running it. And you get to do it peacefully, and you get to do it very civilly by going to the polls.
In the early 20th century, women fought for the right to vote.
Right.
I mean, there was a terrible battle, a very difficult struggle to give women the vote. And yet now so many of them don't exercise it.
That's so true. I mean
there's a contradiction there somewhere.
I know. And Dr. Dobson, that makes me so, you know, passionate to hear you say that because you're right. You are absolutely right. Yeah. The suffragists fought hard. They fought long and hard. Some of them were imprisoned and even tortured. It wasn't a cakewalk for women to win the right to vote. It was only about 100 years ago that we couldn't vote. And yet, here we are, you know, I have a friend whose husband was a member of Congress, and he lost his reelection. He was a Christian conservative. He lost his reelection by just a few hundred votes. And they literally had people, women in their church, come up to them and say, oh, I had a hair appointment that day. I'm sorry I didn't make it. And, you know, that was so discouraging to them. And when I hear those kinds of lame excuses, and they are lame excuses, then, you know, I almost don't know what to say because at the same time, if we're unhappy, you know, we're given an opportunity to make it right. But we don't have a right to complain if we don't take part of the process. I'm also reminded that women around the world, Dr. Dobson, would give anything to have our opportunities and our rights that, again, the suffragists fought so long and hard for, that our founding fathers died for. Yet, again, we just don't understand. We don't care enough. I mean, I'm reminded of the women in Iraq. The first time, and you'll remember this, the first time they were given the right to vote, and they literally stepped over pools of blood of people who had been murdered earlier in the day when they had come to the polls. But step over those pools of blood they did. They walked into the voting booth, they flipped the lever to vote, they came out, dipped their fingers in purple ink, and told the world what they had done. They're so brave. They were so courageous. We need to learn from that example as well.
And yet, Penny, admittedly, many women and men are disillusioned with the whole process. We're in the throes of all the political advertisements, commercials, slogan lines, and a lot of people are just throwing up their hands and saying, I am sick of the whole thing. I'm bowing out.
And I've heard that, too. You know, I've heard people say it doesn't matter who's in charge. It doesn't matter who leads. And I would say that's just nonsensical. Clearly, you're uninformed if you think it doesn't make a difference, because people in leadership, people in charge of our government, have direct control over the regulations that affect your life. They have control over what our nation's spending money on, in addition to how much we're spending. I mean, for instance, we spend $1 million a day for Planned Parenthood. We prop up the nation's largest abortion provider to the tune of $1 million a day. That's crazy. But yet we can't change that until we elect members who understand why that's offensive to people of faith.
Penny, that's a great point. And I know there are a lot of people listening right now thinking, well, I want to vote, but I don't know all those things like you just said. I didn't know we were spending $1 million a day on that. How can people inform themselves quickly? You know, you're busy. You've got kids. You've got jobs. You've got stuff that you're doing. Where can women go? Where can men go to get better informed so they make an intelligent vote?
Well, we tried to make it really simple for you at Concerned Women for America. If you come to our SheVotes2012.org website, you can find out if you're registered to vote. You can find out if you're not registered, how to sign up and get registered. You can find out all kinds of information. In addition, on our website, we have voting records of people that have already been elected. You can see how they voted in the past, and past is a good predictor of future behavior. And see if what your values, if your values line up with the way your member of Congress is voting. In addition, if it's a state race, it's something that you don't know about, ask the candidates for their platform. Ask for what their positions are. Look at what we've already talked about, the issues we've talked about on our website, and ask them their positions. They want to tell you. If you need extra help, contact us. We will help you get the information you need.
Can you inform people about registration dates and procedures in the various states?
Yes, because our SheVotes2012.org website links directly with the state, so you can have all that information at your fingertips, how to register to vote, what the dates are, and all of that. We, again, would be happy to help you beyond that if you need to figure out where you need to go vote. We are absolutely 100% willing to go the extra mile to make sure people have the information they want. We cannot and will not tell you how to vote. That is between you and your conscience. But we think that Christian conservative women it's got to be involved. And we, Concerned Women for America, is 100% willing to do whatever we can do to make sure you're included.
And Penny, I'm sure most of that information will involve the national issues. I do know that, you know, locally, sometimes those ballots are pretty overwhelming. You know, there's a lot of local issues as well. Let me just ask you here, what if I only have time or ability to vote on maybe, you know, 6 or 7 of the top people or issues I know about? Is it still worth going, or do I have to do the whole thing?
It is. No, you don't have, obviously, you can pick and choose on the ballot, but I think it is important for people to vote down ballot. And the other thing is, Concerned Women for America has state directors in every state. So we can link you up with those women that can help you kind of navigate through, you know, anything else that's on the ballot. You've got any initiatives that you're looking at and you're not sure what they mean, that can help you decipher, you know, the wording, help you kind of look at what the state candidates are. So again, contact Concerned Women for America. We'll get you in contact with someone local that can help you beyond the big picture. I'm looking at, again, at federal races and some big state races, but we can help you beyond that as well.
And let's just address the whole option of absentee or mail-in ballot. Talk about that process.
Well, you know, that's really fascinating. In fact, that process is changing the way America votes. I was interested to find out that a very large number, big percentage, I think it's about 30% of people will vote absentee ballot, and the vast majority of those will happen in the first 4 or 5 days. So, you know, we have a whole strategy to kind of work on that, because there are people that can't get to the polls. If you are, your health isn't good, or you have, you know, work requirements that you can't get there. Most states make provision for you, and there, you know, again, you can find all that out through our website. But it is important. You're right. There really is no excuse, because states have tried to make it as easy as possible for everyone to participate in the process. If I could just insert here, another thing Concerned Women for America has been doing is talking to pastors, and I think this might be a good place to plug that. We think that a great opportunity for the church to reach into the community is for pastors to open up their nurseries for Mom's Day Out and to allow women, if you've got, you know, it's hard to vote when you've got 3 kids under the age of 6, and some churches we're finding are open to the opportunity to open up their nursery and provide snack and some child care there at their church nursery for a mom to take an hour and go vote and then pick up their kids. That's another opportunity that pastors can help out with, and again, if you'd like to talk to us about that as a pastor, we'd love to give you some ideas.
That is a great idea. I think of the busy mom, and here's a true confession, Doctor. There was 1 year I did not go to the poll.
Hey, is there another place you could work?
Well, you probably hadn't been outside your house in days either.
Well,
at that
I have
point.
A very,
I mean, we've all been there.
I have a very good reason, and it was, quite honestly, Penny, because my son was sick, and I had every plan to be there, and that threw the whole day upside down, and it just went downhill from there.
And you felt guilty about it.
You
ever
can
since.
Tell I still do to this day. But really, if that
we've
is,
we've all had those days.
If you have some pretty changing and flexible scenarios to your life, you might want to just mail it in to ensure that you get it done.
Yeah, or provide babysitting services for those that have children at home and really need somebody to help them in order to vote.
That's right, Dr. Dawson. Women are so creative in our ability to help each other. We often tend to babysit each other's kids so we can, you know, get to what we need to do. And that is a really great way to do outreach in your neighborhood, to call up your neighbors that you know are like-minded, I might suggest, and offer to keep those children for, again, 30 minutes while they run to the poll and while they come back, and then they can do the same for you.
Penny, I was recently on the She Votes 2012 website, and to give moms just a little more insight into Concerned Women for America, you've got 6 core values, because I think sometimes we get bogged down in little tiny things, and we think, well, I need to go to somebody I trust. The 6 core values for CWA: family, sanctity of human life, education, pornography, religious liberty, national sovereignty.
And what an agenda.
That's a great 6 core values.
Basic core values that play out in, you know, everything from UN conventions and even, you know, our tax dollars, like I mentioned with Planned Parenthood, to, you know, education. I mean, it plays out in so many different arenas, but it's just really the core. And we're guided by our biblical worldview and our biblical perspective. And it is just, I think, it's such an important place for women to speak out. You know, I think that Christians have been fed a line, and it happens all the time, where we're sort of told we have no place in the public square, that, you know, Christians, politics is dirty business, and that we just need to stay out of it, and it really doesn't matter, as we said before, you know, somebody says it really doesn't matter who's in charge. And I would say to those folks that, if everyone thought that way, history would have turned out very differently. Christians have been involved in the public square since the beginning, since Roman times. And they more recently have been involved, you know, even think about William Wilberforce, how his faith fueled his willingness to serve as a member of parliament and to outlaw the slave trade in Great Britain, and how his little group of Christians, the Clapham group, prayed for him, and they worked and worked and prayed, and finally they did it. And then that passion spread over to the United States, and Christians that were in the North were part of the abolitionist movement. And they worked, and finally they were able, of course we had the Civil War, but they were a part of the process. And then everything else from Dietrich Bonhoeffer would have stayed in New York instead of going back to Germany if it hadn't been for his faith. And prison reform and the civil rights movement. I mean, Christians have a voice, and they must use it to stand up for what's true, real, and good.
In addition to the six things that represent your core issues, Penny, I am extremely concerned about the Supreme Court because the next president is going to appoint probably two and maybe three justices to the Supreme Court. That could change this nation for the next 40 years, literally.
You're right. You're right. And in all of those issues that we mentioned, it doesn't matter what kind of law we pass on them. If we have bad judges, then they will just overrule us. They will find a way around the law. If you have judges who are judicial activists as opposed to being constitutionalists, then it really doesn't matter what kind of law you pass because they will not uphold it. So you're 100% right, Dr. Dobson. This next 4 years could make the difference between what happens for Christians, the way that we're able to exercise our faith, our religious liberty, our conscience protections, the issue of life, the issue of marriage. I mean, it's all right there. It's right there within slipping out of our grasp if we don't vote.
Penny, we're out of time, but I want to ask you a question. How good are you at begging? Because I want you to take this last 30 seconds and beg the women who are listening to us today to register and then vote without fail.
Dr. Dobson, thank you so much for this opportunity. It means so much to be on with you. You're one of my heroes in the faith and the movement, and I'm just grateful. I've read your books and just a big fan. But, you know, I just have to say that, like we've been talking about, there are so many issues. The health and future of our nation is at stake, and I can't overstate it. We women must protect our families, and this is a way that we can do it. This is a really important way to do it. Ladies, please vote. Come to SheVotes2012.org. You can find out if you're registered. If you're not registered, you can get a form so you can get signed up. And then on Election Day, go vote and bring a like-minded friend with you.
And again, just to clarify, you said She Votes. That's SheVotes. But I assume, Penny, you wouldn't really mind if men showed up at that same website.
No. In fact, we're the women's group that like men. So, yes, we welcome our like-minded men to this process. And, you know, I'm a mother of a son and happily married, and we love men. So, yes, we want our men involved. But it's SheVotes2012.org.
Well, Penny, we appreciate you. You're good at what you do. Please give our regards and our love and our prayers to Dr. LaHaye.
Absolutely. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for having me on.
And our thanks again to Mrs. Penny Nance, the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America, for joining us by phone. I do realize some of that phone line was a little hard to understand. So if you need information on that website, just go to drjamesdobson.org, which you are all well trained to do, and we'll have the information there.
That's right. We'll have all the information to SheVotes2012 at drjamesdobson.org, or when you call 877-732-6825. Also, ask about our new 3-CD set called Defending America. It is very apropos with this short time before our election.
Thanks again for joining us here on this pretty sober September 11th edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And Doctor, I see before we go, there was one more pitch you wanted to make.
You know, I'd like to say a word to the women who are out there who say, my vote won't count. I mean, 20, 30 million votes that are going to be cast. What difference can I make? Let me remind everybody that George W. Bush won the state of Florida, which allowed him to become president. by a vote of 356.
Wow.
It's amazing. After all that fussing and fighting and all that court stuff and everything, it came down to 356 votes. I started to say measly, but they're not measly. Every one of them counts. Mm. And so if you think your vote isn't needed, there are many examples in history of where one vote made the difference.
That's right.
Don't run the risk.
Mm.
Thanks again for spending this part of your day with us, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.